Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into today's word. Amen. Father, again, thanks is not enough in words. We just pour out our praise to you today, God. We just want to thank you for this church body, God. Thank you for every person, God, that showed up and showed out on your behalf. Those that were working, but they were praying for us here, God. Those that were out of town, but they were praying for this day, God. They're just as vitally important as those of us that showed up all day. We thank you for a church vision that has this, Father, to see this in the future and to go after it. And through all the hard work, through all the sacrificing and the giving of the long hours and setting up and tearing down, thank you, Jesus, for showing up in it. It's not what we wanted to do. It's what we felt you tell us to do that you would bless. And so, Lord, we don't want to do something and ask you to bless it. We want to know what you're doing and jump in that blessing. And so you did that yesterday. You blessed it, and you could tell your hand was all over it. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart. And be with this word and let it come forth with power and demonstration. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When the Lord began to develop this message this morning, I'm like, you're kidding again, God. Now, I'm going to give you some initials, and I know a lot of you men and a lot of you ladies will understand what this is, but don't blurt it out yet, okay? Because I got this message about 3 weeks ago to preach. And I'm like, seriously? You want me to preach on that? And then he began to develop it, and I'm like, oh, I got the understanding now, so I'm going to be able to hopefully give it to you in a way you'll understand it. But it has to do with sports, okay? Yeah. There's a term now, especially in college sports, it came in a few years ago, called NIL. If you love NIL in sports, raise your hand. Not a single person in here likes NIL. If you don't like what NIL's doing to the sport, raise your hand. Okay? NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. And they developed that instead of saying pay for play. That's what this really is. We're now going to take college athletes who used to come to a college because they had a desire to be a part of that college and program. And when they came to that college and program, they became that college. And they were loyal and they played for their heart out for their family, a brotherhood and things like that. And money and dealings hadn't tainted college football. And they were getting, most of them were getting a free education. So you're looking at well over $100,000 plus in most colleges for a four-year degree now. And so that big, and again, then they said, well, we want to start paying college players to play. I mean, they're out there and if they get hurt, they lose a career, possibly millions, but what a lot of it didn't tell you, most of them had insurance policies of that quality. If they were that quality to go high in a draft, people would take out insurance policies on them. If they got hurt in college, they would get $2, $3 million. They didn't tell you that part. But anyway, NIL come in. That's what they call. Well, they should be allowed not to make money on their talent on the field, so we're not going to pay them to play, but we're going to pay them based on their name, their image, and their likeness to promote a product. And so they got companies to come in and say, we will sponsor you here at this college for $3 million to use your name, your image, and your likeness to promote our product. And again, guys, we're not stupid. It's pay for play. Okay, it is. It is. I mean, that's just the way there is to it. And again, it's based on their name, image, and likeness to promote the product. And so what happened to the college students? They're all now, instead of about my college, my team, my family, it's now about show me the money. Yep. Woo! There's literally a college player between the COVID year that he got off is now will suit up for his final year playing at his fifth college. Every year he swaps colleges, and it's according to who got the money. Now, he's not a big name. He's going to some junior colleges, but he's out. I'm the highest bidder gets me. We're prostituting college athletes. Sports. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Turn to your neighbor and say, show me the money. Now, you can't hardly blame a 17, 18-year-old kid for show me the money. Okay? Based off his name, image, and likeness. So what has this got to do with preaching this morning? Number one, I don't like the NIL. It's ruining my football. But anyway, it's not about that. But when you really stop and think about it, they are getting promoted because of their name, their image, and their likeness. Can I tell you today, and just hold on, don't get too, do you know the kingdom of God operates off the people who say they're part of God's kingdom, off their name, their image, and their likeness? So we all in the kingdom of God have NIL in our DNA. Woo, we're going to talk about that this morning, amen? Now that can be good or bad. Because if you've got NLI and you're sold out to God, yay for that. But if you're claiming to be name, image, and likeness as a child of God and you ain't sold out to God, that can be bad for the whole kingdom of God. And the other players on there that's wanting to play. Come on now. And it's not all about the money. Touch your neighbor and say, it ain't all about the money. When you make it about the money, you get what you get, and you run a business. I want to give you the words of Jesus real quickly in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. These are the words of Jesus written in red. But I want to key in on a few words this morning. The Bible says, do not. Everybody say, do not. What does do not mean in the Greek, Journey Church? That's right, it means do not. Do not lay up for yourselves, everybody say treasures. Where? It says don't lay up treasures for yourself here on earth. What's this now? This is where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Leave that up there just for a moment. And I think I talked about this a little bit yesterday. You can have a house, but do you know that if you die and you don't leave that house to somebody to come and take care of it, that house, I don't care how good a shape it was in when you died, it will eventually rust, decay, fall in. Your vehicle, you can park it in a shed, leave it for the rest of its life. Rust will get it. Dry rot will come. You don't absolutely have everything on this earth. You'll take none of it with you. That's why we shouldn't have our treasures laid up here on earth. Because it's going to happen no matter what happens. Can I have a better amen? That's going to be good. Steve's going to break in and steal it, okay? Next verse says, in verse 20, he says, but I do want you to do this. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where?
Heaven.
Where?
Heaven.
Lay up you some treasures in heaven. Why? Because up there neither moth nor rust destroys and no thief is going to break in and steal your stuff in heaven. Amen. Touch your neighbors, that's a good thing. And then it goes on and says this. Amen? Okay, maybe we stop right there. No, verse 21. This is where it's about. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now leave that up there just for a moment. Wherever, whatever you treasure, that's where your heart's at. And before NIL, these young students treasured getting an education from the college they were in love with. They treasured that, and their heart was in that team, and they would blood, sweat, and tears for that team. But now because of this system, I love you till the next dollar comes along. I'll wear you colors, but I'm not going to play my brains out for it because next year I probably got a different team. It may pay me a little more. And have we turned the kingdom of God into that? It's going to kind of be kind of serious a little bit of time today. But that verse right there, where your treasure is, there's where your heart really is. And if we take a self-examine of our treasure today and where it is, that's where our heart's at, even for us. Not just those athletes. It's for us too. Because remember, we're the representation of God in the earth. Come on now. So everybody say treasure.
Treasure.
Now, heart is one thing. Where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. So is your heart on the things here on the earth or things in the heavenlies? In other words, Are you more focused on the here and now versus the eternal? Come on. Let me just say it like this. Are you chasing after the temporary things and surrendering some eternal things? Wow. Because it'll show up, because that's where your heart's at. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart really is. Amen? But when we think of the word treasure, everybody say treasure.
Treasure.
Go ahead and put up the Greek definition of the word treasure. Treasure means, like what we think sometimes, it means riches, it means wealth. But metaphorically, of spiritual treasures, not just money. Spiritual treasures pertaining to, watch this, the mind or to eternal life. See, y'all didn't know that, did you? You think when we say treasures, give me some scratch, show me the money. But it's more than money. True treasure is of the spiritual nature. True treasure is having the Spirit of God inside you rule and reign. Now watch what it goes on and says. The mind or eternal life, it's the storehouse of the mind where the thoughts, feelings, and counsels are laid up. That's what you treasure, is what your mind thinks on. Come on. Some of you sit around and you just daydream about that next house you want to hope to get one day, or that new car, new truck you want, or that new boat, or that new gun. Yay for that. Anyway. Now listen to me. There's nothing wrong with having those thoughts until those thoughts begin to overwhelm you and it takes your heart away from God. And you get focused on the things of this world. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added unto you. Can I have a better amen there? But when we treasure the things here on the earthly realm, now again, I tell you this all the time, those things are not evil, those things are not meant for you not to have. God wants you to have the desires of your heart as long as your desire is first and foremost for Him.
Right.
And I always say it like this, and I know y'all have heard me say it, there's no sin in having things until things have you before God. So have your things, just don't let them have you. That makes sense? God will always honor that. He said, as a matter of fact, seek the kingdom, then those things. So he wants you to have those things, but not ahead of his kingdom work.
Right.
Amen? Amen? So the storehouse of your mind, where your thoughts, feelings, and or counsels are laid up. Wow. Now, this is kind of where we get to sing. Go ahead and put up the next scripture. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. There again, we have thought, which is what we treasure, in where? In our heart. Now, our heart is part of what we call our soulish realm. Oh, come on. Your soulish realm is made up of your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, your conscience, your feelings. That's all soulish. Amen? Because you are spirit, soul, and body. The Spirit of God is what gets born again, it's saved, it's glorified, it's 100% just like Jesus. Your soulish realm, again, your mind, your will, your emotions, your thoughts, your heart, your conscience, your feelings, and then you have your body. It just waits for a command. Come on, and it just does what you tell it to do. Come on. Amen? Now, so this is telling us, this is where we get the saying, and some translations do this, as a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's a very true statement. But we just understand our treasures are spiritual, not just financial. But now watch this. As a man thinks in his what?
Heart.
Part of your what realm?
Soul.
Part of your soulish realm. Look at the definition of the word heart. Cardia. It's the word cardia. It's where we get cardiac. Cardiac arrest. Cardiac unit. Okay? Hopefully no cardiac arrest. Don't do going to cardiac arrest in here today. Okay? But that's where we get our word from. It's the seat and the center of human life is the heart. You let it quit ticking, you're done. Come on, other things in your body can slowly break down, but immediately, the moment you start having a heartbeat, you're done. Amen? So it is the Greek definition is, it's the center of the human life. Now watch this. As the seat of the desires, the feelings, the affections, the passions, and impulses, it's the heart and the mind. Basically, the heart and the mind is connected. Your heart cannot disconnect from your mind, and your mind will not disconnect from your heart. That's why the Bible is true when it says, as a man thinks in his heart, because they're connected, so is he. And then we had where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And when you understand NIL, it takes away the passion. It takes away the desire. It's all about just me, 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 me. And if we're not careful in the church, we will slip into that same mode of getting out of the desire and the passion and the impulses for the kingdom of God and making everything, what can I gain in it? Well, what can somebody do for me? Well, what can? Why ain't they doing this for myself? Come on. So the question that I want to ask you this morning before we go too far, do you want your NIL to be all about you, or you want your NIL to be about God? Because where you want it to be, that's where it is. Plain and simple. These guys will play where they want to play. So where do you want to be? So let's go over name, image, and likeness this morning real quickly. Go ahead and put up the first note, name. Everybody say name.
Name.
Now let me go. Let me do the scripture first. Go ahead and put up the scripture. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says this. A good name. Everybody say a good name.
Good name.
Doesn't say a bad name. Says what?
Good name.
A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Woo! Everybody pay attention to that now. I know you're tired this morning, but you need to get this. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And then it goes on to say, loving favor rather than silver or gold. A good name will bring favor into your life. Now, to think about it a minute, and you probably know people like this. Now, before I go there, though, let me say this right here. You build your name on your actions. You do. You have built up, over the course of your years, everybody who knows you by your name. It may even be a nickname. Now, let me ask you this question. The Bible says it's better to have a good name than anything else. When people hear your name, what do they think? Ooh. When you walk into a room and people know you and see you and they recognize you and they know your name, what do they think? What goes through their mind when they hear your name? Scary, isn't it? What does your name represent to them when they hear your name? Some people go, all right, I ain't seen them in forever. I want to go talk to them. They always brighten up the room when they come in. Man, yeah, I can't wait to talk to you. I want to see you again. Can I have lunch with you? I just heard your name the other day. I thought about you. Thought I'd call and see how you're doing. They love to hear your name. Why? Because you're lovable. You've got a good name with them. Some of y'all ain't getting this. Some people hear your name and they go, oh no, he or she's here again. They dread your name. They dread seeing you. They see you in the supermarket. They change aisles. Now, let me just tell you this right here. There are some people, this is what you enjoy. You enjoy the fact that you intimidate people. You enjoy the fact that your name carries dread. When people see you, they want to walk away. That's where you get your self-fulfillment of who you think you are. Can I tell you, I pity you. I pity you if you're the type of person that you want a name that people dread seeing you when they come in. Because you think that's power when you can turn. No, that ain't power. Dear God, you need help. You need to run to the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, change my name. Give me your name, God. I've built a name here that doesn't represent you. Because again, you're supposed to be carrying the name of Jesus with you. Do you want people to see Jesus and run from him? Then why would you want people to run from you? When you get a picture of Jesus coming back to the earth, do you see people wanting to rejoice or go, oh no, he's coming, I don't want no part of him? You represent Jesus. It's your name. In the image and likeness of Jesus, or it's not. Some people, as soon as they hear your name, they may begin to cuss. Come on. Some people just run. Because here you come. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. The Bible says again, let me read it to you one more time, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So what do people think when they hear you coming? Hey, there's old brother so-and-so coming up, guys. I got to go. Or I want to see him, or I want to see her. There's sister so-and-so. Oh, God, we're fixing to hear everybody's problems. Fixing to hear all about her problem again. All we're going to hear is about how sorry her husband is. Oh, no, here he comes. All we're going to hear is about all his problems and what he's going through. I love y'all. Let's move on. Put up the next note. That's name. We're going to spend just a little bit of time. Everybody say image. So that's name, image. Everybody say image. Now, when you say image, there's another name for image. When you look up the word image, it means your reputation. What's your reputation among the crowds you hang with? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, now watch this, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. A lot of people have a self-image that no one else has about them. I'm trying not to be the bad guy up here, but I want you to walk in freedom. Some of you imagine yourself as this great person everybody loves and everybody wants to be around. And you're the only one thinks that. I do love y'all. And this is right after they just wore themselves out all weekend, Lord. Let me give it to you in the Passion Translation. Same verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Passion Translation. Paul says here, he says, God has given me the grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. Raise your hand if you know somebody who thinks more highly of themselves than they ought to. Just about everybody in here. You may be sitting next to them. I'm going to give y'all just a moment to have fun with that. See, what I'm talking about here, the Bible's talking about is, what image do you have of yourself versus, and the way you portray yourself, your reputation, what you think you are and have, versus what other people see your image and what you portray to them. Sometimes it can be close, but most of the time, very few people will see you the way you see yourself. Very few people will. But we carry this grandiose idea that everybody sees me the way I see me. Come on. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. And I preached on this, I think this past year or last year or something. And oh, by the way, because of my self-image, everybody has to like me. And I shattered that dream for a bunch of y'all either this year or last year. And for those of you that wasn't here, let me just tell you, everybody doesn't like you. Everybody doesn't like me. I'm shocked as you are. Come on. Do you know there's been people that come here and thought I was great until I said something they didn't agree with? And I was shocked when they left mad. It's going to happen in this world. But when your self-image of yourself is up here and you don't ever get down here with what everybody else sees, then you become the problem. It's not everybody else sometimes. I know that disappoints you, whatever generations is coming up now. But sometimes it is you. It's not everybody else. Touch your neighbor and say, get you some of that. Can I just go ahead and tell you that some people in your life that you think are around and you have to intimidate, you have to use your name, image, or your self-esteem, da-da-da-da-da. You are tolerated more than you are celebrated. Amen. You're tolerated in certain situations. Some people tolerate me. I know that. And I'm okay. You're where you're at and I'm where I'm at. That's fine. Don't mean we're enemies. But we're not best buds. And if I imagine anything less than the truth, I'm fooling myself, and I will try to be something to other people that'll make them not want to celebrate and continue to tolerate or eventually just get away from me. Amen. Welcome to life. Okay, some of y'all ain't had no parenting, have you? So you've been coddled all your life and told, you're great, you're wonderful, everybody loves you, it's all about that. And when you grow up with that, you have that name, image, and likeness, you think everybody's like that with me. And if you're not, you're the problem. Come on, we're going to yank the pacifier out this morning. Change a diaper or two up in here, amen? Don't be a Christian that is just tolerated. Become a child of God that people want to celebrate by not thinking too high of yourself. You don't, number one, look at your neighbor and say, you don't know everything. Have you ever been in a room and no matter what you talk about, somebody else has got a better story than yours? Yeah. Well, I was in Zimbabwe. Well, I was in Zimbabwe too. Well, I was climbing bears with pandas in the Ozarks the other day. In the Ozarks, pandas? Yeah, I did that too. I did that before you did though. It don't matter what you talk about, they got to one-up you. Well, y'all liking that a little too much. Now, what's funny about that, you either know somebody like that or you are that. I got to get back to the word. Is this in the Bible? Absolutely. Now, let me tell you where it's at in the Bible. It's in the church. This thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to, first, one of the first places it starts is in the church. Come on. It was in the church at Sardis. The church of Sardis had a huge issue with their NIL. And Jesus didn't coddle them. Jesus told them this. Jesus' words in red, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has a sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. Now watch this. He says, I know all the things you do. Uh-oh. And that you have a reputation, an image of yourself. You have a reputation for being alive. Woo, I'm the life of the party. Everybody loves us. But you're dead. And you don't even know it. You're walking around like you think everybody just ought to bow down when you walk in the room and the time ought to stop because, hey, I'm here. You're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Yeah. Let God think of you as highly as you are. Right. And then create in you a humble spirit that walks in your authority, that draws people and not runs people away. Yeah. Because authority is sometimes best showed by serving in your authority, not rude. Hey. Hallelujah, not rude and trying to make people. So what's he telling the church at Sardis here? Put it in layman's terms. Hey, church, you're fake. You got this big reputation you're trying to put on, but I see through it. You're fake as a $3 bill. You're fake. So this morning, are you real or are you fake? As your person of who you are, do you have to present something that you hope people will come to, or can you be yourself in Christ? Are you a real? Are you real with yourself? Are you real with your friends? Or do you always have to be dominating? Does it always have to be about you? Are you real in your marriage? Are you a real child of God, or are you trying to fake it? You're one thing on Sunday, but you're the next thing when you get home Sunday evening. You praise the Lord here, but you'll turn your back on your friends and use people against each other. You whoop-de-doo, hallelujah, on Sunday, but you're cheating on your wife or your husband on Monday. You amen, praise the Lord, let's pray, let's do a prayer walk. And you know you're cheating somebody out of a deal this week that you're fixing to have a deal with. Are you real? Are you like the Church of Sardis here? Is there some fakery involved? Because that's the reputation and image you try to hide, but God and other people see it, no matter how bad you want to cloak it. Whew. That's why he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. People know. Let's get on to the last one. Everybody say likeness. Whew, how could he be rough with likeness? Now, when we think likeness, we think likability. Am I likable? And we can fake enough to be likable. Come on. Two terms where you fake the most to be likable is dating someone, starting to date someone. Come on. Oh, yes. You'll eat things that you wouldn't normally eat when you go out. Oh, it's good. I like this. Yeah, your cooking's great. You'll do it. You get married, you'll tell her, I ain't eating that. That tastes like crap. But when you're dating, you want to win something. So you get the best person when you're starting to date. That's why you need to date a little while sometimes. Because you don't see the fangs and the hair and the levitating and the head spinning all the time when you're dating. Can I have a better amen? Amen. So the first place is dating. The second place you will see the most fake stuff going on is church. You put the Sunday morning, hallelujah, get out of the car, everything's great. You were cussing and fussing all the way up the mountain. Beating that child in the back seat. Get you. Open the door on Sunday morning, walk to church. Good morning, God bless, God bless. How you doing? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glad to be here. How you doing? I'm doing great. But likeness does not just mean likability. The word likeness also can mean the word reproduction. Two cars come off the line, they're the same colors, they're the same likeness. The twins, Stacy and Tracy, here at the church, they have the same likeness about them. Y'all here, where y'all at? Yeah, they go, look at them, they kind of look alike. Took me forever to figure out which one's name was which, though. How many of y'all struggle with that, too? All right, let me tell you the secret I found. S is for short, that's Stacy. T is for tall, that's Tracy. You're welcome. Simple minds need simple processes. Tracy tall, Stacy short. You got it. But they're in the same likeness because they look alike. They're twins. Amen? So likeness means this is a reproduction of what, who are come out first? I don't know. The second one, you're just a reproduction. Okay? Which one of y'all came out first, by the way? It's a short one, then. Okay. But yeah, the tall one needed some leg room. Get out. I love church. But likeness means it can be a reproduction of something that's out there already. And as Christians, we are supposed to be the reproduction of God in the earth. And I like to say reproduction like this. We are to be reproducing what God produced. Amen. And that is likeness. And it should be likable. Yeah. Although everybody didn't like Jesus. And again, when you think of yourself more highly than Jesus, you think you're better than Jesus. People didn't like Jesus. It's Jesus. He didn't go to the cross because he won most favorite. He had the truth, and people didn't like the truth, and it wasn't their truth that they wanted to hear, and so they crucified him for that. And by the way, it wasn't the sinners that crucified him, it was religious people. Well, still happening today. So is your likeness, reproduction, that of the character and the attributes of Jesus? N-I-L, likeness. Galatians, now this is very familiar scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. Most of us know this. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, I don't like that one, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Everybody say self-control. Where we get a weird thing in our mind is, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray and you're going to make me this stuff. He will not make you. Get that out of your crawl. Get that out of your mind. Get that out of your prayer life. He will not make you be spirit-producing. He don't make you. If he made you, it would say you are going to be, by God's order, no choice of your own, you will love, you will be long-suffering, you will be patient, you will be kind. I don't care what happens. And if you don't, I'll strike you dead. That wouldn't be our God. All the fruit of the Spirit is rolled up into the last one. Whether or not you choose to have self-control of those emotions. And that goes back to where your treasure is where your heart is. If your heart is in the things of the world, if your heart is outside of, and just me, my name and my image, the way I want everybody to perceive me, I want to be perceived the way the Bible does. And if it hair lips Georgia, I just soon stay with God. I don't care if everybody likes me. Now, I want everybody to like me, but I know that Jesus had everybody didn't like him. But if people don't like me, I want it to be for the right reason. Not because I'm trying to fake it till I make it or trying to do this or none of that stuff, but because I am going to stand undeniable on the Word of God. Undeniable, the Word of God. Now watch this. Now, when it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, all that stuff. Another scripture, I love the way it says it. It says, but the Spirit of God produces these gifts, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. It's a production of the Holy Spirit into your life for you to have a likeness of it, you like it, and then it's a reproduction out of you where other people will like the God you serve because of who you are. Right. They won't run from you, and they won't run from God. But if people don't really want to be around you because of you're all that and you're in yourself, trust me, they don't want to be around your God either. Because they see you as your own God versus the God you serve that puts the real fruit of the Spirit in them without being fake. Does that make sense? Again, it's what the Holy Spirit produces in a person who has sold out to Christ and the way of his word. You will not produce the fruit of the Spirit for long in your own strength. That's one of the most frustrating things you can try to do is be a fruit of the Spirit person without walking in the Spirit with humility and servitude. Whoo, can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Amen. Come on up, get me out of here real quickly. N-I-L. Your, not anybody else's, your name, your image, and your likeness is setting the tone for the kingdom of God to people around you. And we wonder why the church is in decline sometimes. What's the reputation? What's the likeness? What's the image? What's being reproduced out of every Christian's life? In the workplace, in these places we go to all the time. Does your life represent Jesus Christ and his kingdom standard? And in case you don't know about Jesus Christ and his kingdom standard, right here it is. Does your life represent, does your name represent Jesus? When people hear your name, do they think Christian? A good one too, not a fake one. They're real with it. They're not haughty with it. They don't try to lord it over me. They just walk it in faith. When they hear about your image, your reputation, they've got a good reputation. They're not perfect. They'll tell you they're not perfect. They'll share their disappointments and their failures to try to help you out of yours. Or they say, oh no, here comes Bossy Bridges. Here comes fuss and gripe and complain. Here comes cuss and fuss. Your name, your image, your likeness. The blueprint's right here for every bit of it. Now, everybody say mine. Stand to your feet real quickly. Now, I'm not talking about how you are just at church when you get out and you put on your Christian walk here. But who are you in the world? Who are you when nobody's looking? Who are you when you go, when you're away from your spouse? Who are you when you're away from your parents? Are you doing your life the way Jesus did his life? Now I want you to bow your heads and think about this next part. Your NIL, your name, your likeness, and your image. What does your name, image, and likeness speak? How does it talk? Does it talk and have the filth coming out of it like the rest of the world? Or does it have pure and lovely and patience and kindness flowing out of your mouth? Or you try to manipulate people? We talked about that last week. Your NIL, your name, image, and likeness. Where do you go? Where do people see your spirit, soul, and body standing, sitting? Does it see it in a place where it shouldn't be? Does it see it standing in places or sitting in places or laying in places that it knows does not glorify God? So what you say matters. Where you and I go matters. I'm not going to be at the strip club on Friday, Saturday, and then show up for church on Sunday. Now, if you're lost, you can go to the strip club on Friday, Saturday. Come to church on Sunday. If you're a new Christian, you may be working your way out of that, but you got to work your way out of that. Why? Because your name, image, and likeness matters to the kingdom of God on earth. And the Spirit of God will put a check in you. I don't belong at that frat party. I don't belong at, what's his name, P. Diddy's party. Oh, I'm going to say it. I don't belong here. This is not where the Holy Ghost goes. So what you say matters. Where you go matters. What you do matters. How you respond to life when it's tough, it matters, because other people are watching your name, your image, and your likeness to see what God you serve. What you say matters. Where you go matters. What you do matters. How you act and respond to life matters. Who your friends are matter. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That doesn't mean we can't be around them. It just means we only around them to the extent that we try to pull them to God. But we don't follow them into the parties. We don't follow them into the clubs. We don't follow them in here. We don't follow them into our friend's house where we know that junk's going to be going on. We choose God. We choose the name, image, and likeness of our Creator. Who your friends are matter. I'm going to go ahead and go here right quickly. How you handle your money and your blessings matter. How you handle your money, how you handle the blessings that God gives you matter. Because some people, God, just for some reason, there's a season they just pour out blessings and money and favor and things, and they just take and squander it. Begin to pull away from God instead of going toward God. Oh, I'm successful now. I don't need God's blessing. I don't need to serve. I'm blessed. And I've seen financial blessing ruin many a great Christian men and women. How you manage your business, if you've got a business or you work for somebody, how you're an employee or an employer, it matters. Because everything a child of God does, says, goes, presents, is all about the name, image, and likeness of our God. But it's put on you and me. Well, that seems unfair pressure. Well, you shouldn't have been born. Welcome to life on earth. But God wanted you here. God wouldn't have put you here if you couldn't handle it. But if you listen to everybody else, you'll think it's too much to handle being a Christian. But I'm here to tell you, it's not. Because we don't walk by nothing but by faith. And yes, we mess up sometimes. And yes, we get our NIL out of whack sometimes. But can I tell you, every time we realize it, all we have to do is repent and go back to our first love. Throw ourselves at Jesus and say, Father, forgive me. Lord, I haven't represented you well. Lord, I need you to recreate it. Now, let me just tell you something right here. Go ahead, you can look up now for a little bit. Some people, as God begins to give you a new name, they won't remember nothing but your old name. That's okay. That's on them. But God give you that new name, that new image, and that new likeness. Past. Some people will never get over your past. But as long as you actually get over your past, it's okay. But some of you get stuck in your past too. Because your name, image, and likeness, you've created in your image, and you like your image. Because it's where you're comfortable. It's where you're not challenged. It's where your excuses are good for you. Oh, don't let me preach to nobody in here today. I'm sure this is all just for those watching. But I'm telling you, your name, your image, and your likeness reproduces what people see, a vision of God. And I'll be the first to say, I've never done it perfectly. But my desire is to do it perfectly. And by the word perfect, I mean the word mature. And that's the key word. We've got to grow up. Touch your neighbor and say, it's time to grow up. Old men, it's time to be wise older men. Young men, it's time to quit being a boy and grow up. Young women, it's time to quit being some silly thing and grow up. Be who God called you to be, and you'll be more than enough. You'll be more than enough for those who really love you and that's around you. And let me tell you something, you're not going to do it perfectly. Nobody's ever done it perfect except Jesus. So don't put that pressure on you either, but don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. That's why he says, cast your cares and your burdens upon him. He'll carry the load. But you've got to present that load, and you've got to be able to lift it. So you've got to have some strength too. Okay? Now bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you have never in your life accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this time's for you. Both services, we had people raise their hand to accept Christ and rededicate their life. So where are you at? How's your name, your image, and your likeness? And I can tell you this right here. If God hasn't written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's because you've not surrendered it. And the moment you surrender your life, your name, the Bible says, get recorded in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, eternal life. You will not join church today, and you will not become a religion today. You'll become a saved man or woman of God who has entered into the Father's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And if that's you today with no strings attached, you're not joining church today, you're not getting religion, you're just surrendering your life to Christ. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, today's my day to get born again. Anybody? All right. Maybe watching online. Let us know. But how many today today would say, I needed a wake-up call about my name, image, and likeness? I did. When I got this message, I'm like, oh, Lord, all I got to do is get in the mirror to preach this word. I'm going to raise both my hands. I need a checkup, because sometimes I think we forget we are the name, image, and likeness of Christ that he chose to put in the earth to represent him, to reproduce, represent Christ to people in this earth. He didn't choose anything else like us. Of all his creation, yeah, we know creation cries there's a God, but it doesn't cry out with a loud voice until the rocks have to cry out because we don't. But you are created in his likeness. His name, his image, and his likeness. Let it come out, guys. But you got to get in your word to find out. So, Father, right now, for those that raise their hands, and I hope maybe some more will go up here and just while I'm praying and say, Lord, add me to that. Lord, we want to tell you we're sorry for some of the things we've said, some of the places we go, some of the things we allow. We've walked in some compromise because it's so easy in this world, especially with what we have as living in this nation, who's a great nation, but we're spoiled to things, God. And Lord, we just want that spirit of excellence of your name, your image, and your likeness to only say what you would say, to only go where you would go yourself, to only do what you would do, Jesus, and to handle every situation the way you would with the Spirit, and to be friends to everyone, but have ourselves surrounded by friends who are of like faith that we can hold each other up, God, and encourage one another when one of them's down. And how to handle business and finances and people, God, with excellence and honor. So, Father, would you just help us in that matter, especially in this season of Christmas? I guess this is a Christmas message. It really is. So, Father, we thank you for this message today. I know it was different and maybe a little rough on the edges. But, God, I believe it's a Kairos on-time message this morning for the body of Christ. And for those who have ears to hear and receive it, Lord, I believe it's going to make a massive difference, even this week, in some decisions you've got to make. So I just release right now over you a spirit of discernment. I release to you the spirit of discernment to know and to have that innermost being, that spirit inside you, rise up and begin to just speak to you with the voice of God. It says, we don't do that no more, remember? Hey, we're not going there no more, remember? Hey, this is, I love you, but I love you too much to let you do that. I love you too much to let you lie. I love you too much for you to be fake. We're going to get some real. Hey, you're going to spend some time in the Word today. You're going to spend some time talking more to your Heavenly Father today. You're not going to listen to the dirty joke. You're not going to tell it either. You can have other jokes that are funny. You're going to have the best time of your life when you're in the name, image, and likeness of God. And I just release that to you right now for those that know how to receive it. Just say, Father, thank you for it. I receive that inner spirit to speak to me because I want to represent you. Everybody say, my name, my image, and my likeness, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, can you give me my hand clap of praise here this morning? Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.